In this session, we will be looking at the SEED certification, the importance and the role of SEED certification, and the process of SEED certification, specifically from an Indian perspective. SEED certification as a concept was formulated or formed because of a concern, a growing concern of a rapid loss of identity of several varieties of crops during various production cycles. A loss of identity or a loss of varieties of crops definitely impacts the agricultural sector in multifarious ways. In various countries, including India, a SEED certification is voluntary and SEED labeling is compulsory. The SEED certification is basically a legally sanctioned system for quality control of seed multiplication and production. It is designed to maintain and ensure a continuous supply of high quality seeds and propagating materials. So if we are looking at vegetative propagation, we are also looking at a lot of propagative materials that which act as seeds. Even they are certified or notified various kinds of varieties of crops, you know, where the physical and genetic purity is also assured. So certification is not just proving the quality of a particular seed, but it is also providing assurance to the farmer who's buying these seeds that these seeds are of pure genetic and physical quality. Seed certification is generally done by the seed certification agency of a particular state. In case a particular state does not have an SCA or a seed certification agency, the seed certification for such states is taken care of by the National Seed Certification Agency, which is a central body. The seed certification agencies at state level can be either linked to the National Seed Certification Agency, or it can also be an autonomous body like the Karnataka's Autonomous Seed Certification Center. Now let us look at the timelines of, or rather the evolution of seed certification in India. It all started in 1963, where field evaluation of seed crops started. It also led to the formulation of National Seed Certification Agency, and it started the seed certification in 1963 after the first field evaluation of seed crop. Somewhere around 1966, the Indian government realized that there needs to be a more specific guideline, or rather a legal framework, to ensure that seed certification is done in a very fair and a very viable manner. And hence, it came out in 1966 with the Indian Seed Act. Not only does it have various rulings or legalities and legislations about certifying seeds and how to grade your breeders or plant breeders who are giving these seeds, how to track them, the entire process, it also has a listing of the various varieties of a specific crop. Every time there is a new variety that is identified, it is listed under the Indian Seed Act. The Seed Rules, which was an offshoot of the Indian Seed Act, came out somewhere in 1968, which gave out even more specific instructions about seed certifications and testing. In 1970, Maharashtra government officially formulated the Seed Certification Agency for the state. And 4 years later, in 1974, Karnataka formed the Autonomous Seed Certification Agency in the state. So what are the objectives of seed certification? First of all, the first and primary objective is obviously to ensure there is a genuinity in terms of the quality of the seed. Any purchaser who goes out to buy a seed, a farmer, is expecting his crop to give him a lot of money and is completely dependent on the seed that he purchases. So if the seed which he purchases cannot assure him good quality, he has absolutely no confidence when he is sowing them in the field. A systematic increase or improvement of superior varieties has also come across because of seed certification. It aims at ensuring that superior varieties are promoted more, they are used more in the market, and farmers get more yield and more money through it. Seed certification also aims at identifying new varieties and ensuring that their rapid increase happens under appropriate and generally accepted names. Seed certification also provisions for a continuing supply of comparable material by careful maintenance. There are certain fundamental principles of seed certification. We will look at each of them and try to understand what these principles are and why they are in place for a process like seed certification. The first fundamental principle is that the field inspection must be made by qualified inspectors. It goes without saying that if the person who is inspecting the field does not have the necessary theoretical and practical knowledge about the process, he or she may end up making the soil absolutely worthless and the entire process of seed testing and certification useless. The integrity of certified seed growers must also be recognized. Where are we getting the nucleus seeds from? Are those plant breeders credible? Are they following the right agricultural practices to get the nucleus seed? Or are they resorting to certain norms or certain methodologies that is going to impact the future generations of the seed production cycle? It is very important that any seed certification agency or any seed certification authority has a clear understanding of the credibility and integrity of the growers of these seeds. There should be verification trials to establish their identification and usefulness of varieties. These strains must be certified and must be conducted. Now, these verification trials also need to happen at a regular basis. So it has to be planned and executed by people who understand the process of seed certification. Another important aspect is the record maintenance. Proper records have to be maintained, which establishes a proper pedigree of every seed. We should be able to trace a certified seed back to its nucleus. If there is any issue, anything whatsoever, we should be able to go back to the source and eliminate that seed then and there. It's a simple process. For example, if we are looking at a car, if there is a specific batch of cars that have gone out into the market and have started giving problems with the engines, the manufacturer, through the batch number and model number, immediately identifies which are the cars on the road and immediately call them back to ensure that this particular issue is resolved. The same logic applies in this case. The pedigree of the seed stock is very important and it has to be traceable. Another important principle is that there should be standards of purity and germination. For every crop, there is a percentage germination standard or a benchmark that every crop needs to follow. We will see that in the future slides, but every crop has certain benchmarks in terms of its physical purity and germination percentage, and the stock, the seed stock or the certification seed stock, has to have somewhere closer a value in terms of percentage germination or percentage physical purity, which is closer to the benchmark. The principle of sealing these seeds to protect both the grower and the purchaser needs to be approved and followed. So every seed cannot be sealed or packed in a particular manner. There are principles for various seeds and various varieties and how they need to go about. There is a way in which the seeds are packaged, they are labeled. These rules also need to be looked into. The species of farm weeds. Now, there are various types of farm weeds. Some of them are not that, you know, disease-causing, or rather not that problematic, and some of them are absolutely obnoxious. And there are noxious weeds that need to be defined as per the seed certification principle. Now, when we define these weeds, it is easier for us to understand that there are certain weeds that needs to be uprooted the moment it is visible. What are the eligibility requirements for getting a seed certified? First of all, the seed variety should be notified under the Section 5 of the Indian Seed Act 1966. Like I spoke about it in the previous slide, the Indian Seed Act 1966 has a provision of listing every variety of every crop that is being produced in India. So if you want to get a seed certified, first you need to figure out if that variety of that species of that seed is listed in the act. It should be in the production chain and its pedigree should be traceable. The three stage or the three generation production that we saw in the previous session, this should be traceable. Field standards in terms of selection of site, isolation requirements, spacing of sowed seeds between each other, the planting ratio in a particular square meter of soil, where do we place the border rows, how far from the sown seed, all of these needs to be maintained. There are certain attributes to a particular seed that needs to be maintained. There are certain maximum permissible limits. If your seed exceeds these permissible limits, they will not be considered valid for certification or eligible for certification. First is, are there presence of any off types in seed crop? From the normal variety that they are supposed to belong to, do we have any seed crop which does not belong to the normal variety that we are looking for certification? We look whether the pollen shedders for bajra, sunflower, etc. are there within the maximum limit or are there more? Tassel shedding in maize, they are also looked at. How much tassel shedding happens? Is that within the possible limit? Are the disease affecting these plants, or do they have a natural immunity to it, or to what extent is disease affecting them? Are there any objectionable weed plants that grow along with them? Do they naturally ensure that these weeds grow along with them? All of these is certain requirements that one needs to look at before being eligible for seed certification. Now, there are various phases in seed certification. First is verification of the seed source or the class, and you know, various other requirements of the seed which is used for raising the crop. So when we are verifying or when we are certifying a seed, it first goes back to the root, the source. Where has it come from? Which class does it belong to? Is it a nucleus seed? Is it a breeder? Is it a foundation seed? Or is it a final certified seed? That needs to be written on the package. The receipt and scrutiny of application is also one of the phases. So if we are giving away a seed stock for certification with the seed certifying agency, we need to also ensure that our application is absolutely comprehensive and completely filled with the necessary details. Many a times, eligible seeds or seed growers or seed breeders do not get certifications because they lack in documentation. Inspection of the seed crop in the field to verify its conformity also is an important phase. There are certain field standards that needs to be taken care of, and inspection is conducted at regular intervals to ensure that these standards are adhered to. Once the previous phases are taken care of, the next is supervision of post-harvest stages. Here, there are multiple supervision tests that are conducted at the post-harvest stage. Sometimes it is the physical observation of the seeds, sometimes affinity to liquids, and many other. Drawing out of samples happen after the supervision, and the analysis is done to ensure that it conforms to the normal standards of the seed. Once all these phases are conducted successfully, a certificate is granted and the certificate tags can be added to the seeds. So what are the various control measures for seed certification? First of all, there is an administrative check on the origin of the propagating material. Where does the seed come from? Which breeder? What is the credibility of that breeder? Has there been history of specifically bad samples coming from this particular breeder? Field inspection happens in terms of wherever this seed is being grown or experimented or tested. How is that soil? Is that soil robed? Is that soil well maintained, well nutritioned? Once these plants start growing at the germination stage, seedling stage, sapling stage, and final maturity stage, at every stage they are inspected, samples are taken out. Bulk inspection happens. Control plot testing is done, and then the grow out test is also done. Let's look at each of these stages in detail in the next slide. So the first thing that we do for controlling the seed certification process, the administrative check. Source verification is the first and probably the most critical step in seed certification program. The moment your source turns out to be non-credible, it results, or rather it immediately puts a stop to your seed certification activity. And hence it is very important for seed breeders and people who are aiming to go towards certification to understand that they need to get their seeds from the right source. Until and unless the seed is approved or the source is approved for a designated class, the certification agency will not accept the seed for field testing or other certifications. The next step is field inspection, evaluation of the growing crop in the field. Have we isolated the crop enough from its other varieties? Have we ensured that there is no outcrossing or physical mixing of the seeds within each other? Do we have diseases or diseased crops moving away from the normal ones? Are we ensuring that the crop conditions are normal and the way a crop is supposed to have? All of these details are taken care of. An inspection at various levels happens, and it is very important, and it has to be done, like I said before, it has to be done by a person who knows the job. Sample inspection happens when you need to assess the planting value of the seeds. It generally happens on laboratory testing methodologies. Now, the certification agency draws out a representative sample from the entire seed stock, and from there it is subjected to various tests in terms of its germination, its purity, its structural integrity, and various other things. Bulk inspection is where the evaluation happens for a seed on its homogeneity level. So it is compared with a standard sample, and it is seen whether the shape, the color, the structure, the size, the texture of the seed and everything is equivalent or almost close to the standard benchmark sample. If any of these parameters are not met, the seed immediately moves out of the certification process. So not only are we looking at laboratory testing, we are also looking at physical testing. So if you can observe, every stage at some point in time screens the bad samples away and only takes out the correct samples ahead. Then we have something called a control plot testing. Once your lab testing and bulk testing is done, final seeds are grown side by side with a standard sample, and then they are compared. They are compared in terms of their growth rate, they are compared in terms of the color of their leaves, they are compared in terms of the output or the yield that comes out. If there is any discrepancy or major discrepancy between the two, immediately the sample gets rejected. The last stage of control measure is grow out test. Here, the seeds are evaluated for the genuineness of the variety and also whether they are infected by certain seed-borne diseases. The samples are drawn out, the lots are grown in fields along with a standard, and the growing plants are observed. This test basically helps in eliminating substandard seeds at the initial stages of their growth. Now, government has formed few legislations in this sector to ensure that seed certification happens in a fair and square manner. In modern agriculture that we see today, there are several high-yielding or hybrid variety seeds or improved seeds or genetically modified transgenic seeds that we can see. There are always new developments that keep happening in this field due to the increasing presence of agricultural biotechnology. Many a times these seeds are produced either on research farms or agricultural universities or under guidance of experts and supervisors who know the technicalities behind these cultures. The farmers have to purchase these seeds from recognized sources or authorized seed producers. It is therefore important that the government sets in legislations to ensure that the right quality of seed enters the market and the right quality of seed is purchased from the right person by the farmer to ensure that the right product comes out in the market. The availability of good seeds to the farmers is ensured to avoid malpractices. Generally, what happens is we may have the test and we may have the certification process in place, but what if these seeds are not available in the market? Then it results in substandard seeds being bought. A farmer cannot wait once the season for a particular crop cultivation has started. And hence, it is the government's responsibility that the availability is ensured in every state for every farmer. Most of these farmers are not even literate. So cheating them becomes very easy for people who deem themselves as a legitimate seed breeder. To avoid all of this, the Seed Act was put into place in 1966. And it also gave legislations to ensure that farmers never fall short of good seeds. There is always adequate supply. There are certain field standards that one needs to look at before the seeds get certified. So there are certain general standards, there are specific standards. General standards are like isolation distance between two sample plots, foundation, from where does the seed come in, and the certified seeds and all that. Specific is whether we have an off-type variant in it, do we have objectionable weed presence in the crop, are plants affected by diseases. So these are very specific, because every plant may have a different type of characteristics in these criteria. Now, there are certain isolation standards for every crop. This is basically done to maintain a particular genetic purity and also to avoid cross-pollination between the breeds. Now, seed plots are supposed to be isolated from the general cultivation plots. So understand that we are not supposed to put a sample plot closer to a commercial plot, where a farmer is using his field for commercial purposes cannot be used, or the sample plot cannot be even in close proximity to that particular field. Even when there are two or more plots which are being used for sampling, it has to be isolated from each other. Now, for various crops, there are various isolation standards. For example, rice and wheat, the foundation seed needs to be at least 3 meters away, so is the certified seed. Immediately, if we look at the tomato and methi, it has to be 50 to 25 meters. Now, that's a huge distance. Let's look at hybrid bajra. Hybrid bajra requires almost 1 kilometer distance and isolation between the two plots. Because they are already hybrid, they may be prone to cross-pollination, and if cross-pollination occurs, the quality and the variety may be in danger. And hence these isolation standards. Now, these are just a few examples. Obviously, every product has its own isolation standard, and they need to follow these isolation standards if they aim to get certified by a seed certifying agency. Now, what are the various quality standards for seeds? Like I said, these quality standards vary from product to product, from crop to crop, and even within the same crop, it varies from variety to variety of the crop. Let's look at these quality standards. This table basically shows a small example of various crops and how their quality standards are measured in terms of the physical purity percentage and germination percentage. A prima facie glance will tell us that most of the crops, the physical purity has to be close to 100%. Has to be. Whether they are jowar, wheat, or bhindi, which is commonly known as the ladyfinger, it has to have at least 99% physical purity. Now that's a very stringent measure, but it ensures that the right type of product comes in. When it look at germination, we can, except for ladyfinger, others have to be above 70%, which basically means if I have sown 100 seeds, 70 need to germinate. If that does not happen, that seed cannot be certified, or that seed cannot be deemed as a high quality seed. Now let's look at the seed testing process. Okay, there is a big entire process completely reliant on seed testing. Now in India, farmers generally have a practice of saving a part of their harvest as seed for the next season. All right. In the public sector, the National Seed Certification Agency basically undertakes production, processing, and marketing of agricultural seeds. So today, the farmers are not forced to save seeds from their harvest. They can go for buying of seeds, which is facilitated by the central and the state government governing authorities. Now, NSE is also involved in the formulation of seed certification standards. So, in seed testing, there are seeds produced by NSE which are evaluated for quality by independent seed certification agencies, as well as its own International Seed Testing Association, which is ISTA Switzerland. There are seed testing labs where this process happens. Now, ISTA basically is taking care of the internationally agreed rules for seed sampling and testing. It also accredits labs, it promotes research in the seed sector, and it provides international seed certification for various particular seeds. Now, seed testing labs check the compatibility of different varieties of seeds with local soil and other farming conditions. Like we discussed in the previous sessions, the soil and the climatic conditions and the weather in which a particular seed germinates impacts its growth, impacts its yield. If we take a normally adapted seed from its normally adapted environment and plant it somewhere else, it will not germinate the way it's supposed to be. So seed testing labs basically try to test whether the variety of seeds are compatible with various types of soils, various types of farming conditions, and various types of weather conditions. And what do they test in such tests? They test for the germination. What is the percentage germination and how fast is the germination? They test the vigor of that seed. They test whether it is resistant to diseases. Is it contracting certain diseases on its own? They test for purity in terms of genetic purity as well as physical purity. It tests for certain genetic traits. There are certain varieties which naturally have resistance to certain diseases and pests. There are certain varieties which are genetically modified for that. So those genetic traits are to be listed down and checked. And it checks the overall seed health, which is the shape, the size, the length, the breadth, the color, the texture, all of it is checked. Imported seeds are also tested for not just all these facets, but also for its suitability to Indian climatic conditions. Many a times we get imported seeds in India and we get quite dismal yields. That is because we have not checked whether these seeds are suitable for Indian farming. For example, certain grape varieties that have been growing in Nasik came in from Germany and France. Obviously, when these seeds came into India, they had to be tested. Even today, these grapes are nowhere to be seen in India. They are automatically exported to the origin countries. Delegates from these countries come down for field testing and yield testing on regular intervals. So here, when we are talking about international procurement of seeds, we are talking about how are they acclimatizing to the Indian weather conditions. Are they okay with the agricultural practices that the Indian farmers follow? Many seed testing labs have developed a hybrid varieties of seeds, which leads to increase in productivity. So seed testing labs are not only just testing seeds and giving out or helping in certifications, but it is also helping in developing hybrid varieties, which is increasing the productivity and increasing probably the immunity of the seeds. The National Seed Research and Training Center is situated in Varanasi. It is an organization which was formulated or rather created with a vision to contribute to an integrated approach towards quality seed availability. This organization maintains uniformity in seed testing. It ensures that everywhere where the seed testing happens, it happens in a uniform, standard manner. It also ensures that there is quality control in terms of seed at the national level. So we're not just talking about individual agencies doing autonomous testing at their own whims and fancies. There is an institute in India which ensures that everyone does it in a uniform manner. It also makes the seed, the seed industry in India globally competitive. So we are not only talking about seeds within our country, we're also talking about these seeds being used globally, and are we viable and competitive enough with the other nations in the world. The NSRTC has a separate national seed quality control lab and a central seed testing lab. Now, the central seed testing lab is a referral lab for the court, for the law. And the member lab of International Seed Testing Association, it is as a member lab of International Seed Testing Association, it acts as a DSU test center for transgenic crops. Now, this particular the DUS test, or rather the Distinct Uniformity and Stability Test, it's an important aspect in the seed testing process. So what it basically ensures is that the implementation of protection of farm varieties and farmers' rights legislation is adhered to and it is followed to the T. It has been argued that the US test centers established and NSRTC is mandated to function as one of the DUS test centers. So we are not just talking about NSRTC which has DUS test centers, we are talking about NSRTC which acts as a DUS test center also. Now, once we've looked at all these organizations and the various types of seed testing, let's look at the packages. The bags in which these seeds are packed need to have certain specifications, not only in terms of size and material and things like that, but also in terms of the labeling that is done. We looked at the three generations. So we have breeders, we have foundation, and we have certified seeds. In this case, all breeder seeds need to have a label which is yellow in color. The foundation seeds are in white, and the certified seeds will have a blue label. But what will these labels have as an information? It will have, first of all, the seed name and its variety. So it will not only just say rice, it will also say which variety of rice. Is it a Surti Kolam? Is it a Basmati of a particular variety? There are codes given to every variety. Which lot number does it belong to? Lot number basically helps in identifying the foundation or the root of every seed. The physical purity percentage and the germination percentage is mentioned. When was the testing conducted for that specific test lot is mentioned. Weight of the seed is mentioned, average weight of the seed. What class or category does it belong to? Is it a breeder? Is it a foundation? Or is it a final certified seed? That needs to be mentioned. Expiry date needs to be mentioned. How long will the seed be viable? That has to be mentioned on the label. Who is the seed producer? The name and address of that seed producer has to be mentioned on the label. And finally, a signature of the officer from the seed certifying agency has to be on the label. So every seed package and the label on every seed package is nothing but an assurance to the farmer that the quality of every seed in that bag has been tested and assured to have absolute physical purity and genetic purity. Thank you so much.